You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
We still have the ability to seize control of our destiny. Here's the good news. If we stop adding to the overburden of these greenhouse gas pollutants in the sky, if we reach what they call true net zero and stop adding to the heat trapping capacity up there, the temperatures will stop going up right away. And if we stay at true net zero, half of the human caused greenhouse pollution will fall out of the atmosphere in as little as 25 to 30 years. We have the ability to do this. And it's not impractical because we now have the cheapest new source of energy in the history of the world with solar electricity and wind electricity. And the electric vehicles reached 20% of sales globally this year. The batteries are now, we had one gigafactory several years ago. Now there are 200 and another 400 being built. You know, a long time ago, one of the Saudi Arabian oil ministers said, we better remember the Stone Age didn't end because of a shortage of stones. It ended because something better came along. We've got something better now. We can do this if we just overcome the greed and political power of the big fossil fuel polluters who've been trying to control this process. It's time for people at the grassroots level in every country to speak up. And the good news is that's happening too.
Not anymore. No. No. Pulled out of the Paris Accords.
That's right. I'm still. I think we did run out of stones, didn't we?
Barely.
John and Gordy in the morning.
Good morning.
92.7 on the FM dial if you're cruising into work.
WMDX.
And you can find us on you can find us on the app. We have seen what has happened with the administration so far. It is a cluster, you know what.
Yeah.
And it is something that we'll never see again from any other leader elected as president in this country. This is just a unique situation. We're watching it unfold before our very eyes.
Are you saying we'll never see it again because Trump is going to be the last president?
That's
maybe, a possibility.
Maybe that's, it. Maybe that's it too. He'll live to be 99 for some reason, right?
Yeah.
But just what's going on is just phenomenally bizarre. And, we're seeing the headlines this morning. I got to mention this right away because, my head has exploded.
Well, it's all happening in real time.
Well, the Onion may not be around much longer because we've got the Trump administration creating headlines. This one is here it is.
Okay.
CIA sends unclassified email to White House listing the names of their new hires. I'm just like, I just can't.
That's supposed to be a secret, isn't it?
I think so. I think the new CIA hires should be confidential in some unclassified way. I just don't get this. I just don't get this. Why? I work for the government. I work for the federal government doing the census.
Yeah.
And they are so. They're so protective of all
secure and by
information.
The book.
Everything is secured. Everything is under a password, a login. You can't. And then you've got time limits, like 2 or 3 minutes, when you're logged in to do whatever you're going to do, or and use the software basically, or you get logged off immediately. You got to go back in. You can't do this stuff. And all this stuff, we go through training. We are threatened with $50,000 fines and 5 years in prison if we let any of this confidential information go.
Right.
If we let anybody see it, and I'm watching this happen. This is so completely contrary to anything I've been taught as a federal employee. This is shocking. And I'm surprised that our representatives aren't actually, you know, telling the same story I am. They live under the same classified life on their computers at their government job. They can't reveal this stuff. They can't even let, you know, stray eyes, you know, see their screen. They can't do this. And this is what's happening. We've got teenagers and you know, early 20-somethings looking at all our confidential information. This is crazy stuff. I don't know. And then they send the new CIA agents' names in an unclassified way in an email to the White House. Wow. Woo! Yeah. We're having a time now, aren't we?
Yeah, the wheels have come off the wagon. God. We're rolling downhill sideways.
Jeez.
I get you.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
Now I got that off my chest.
All right. Well, good.
Oh. You know, later on, you know, I have an onion headline.
Do you?
In the show today.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
And, I don't. Who cares now?
We don't need the onion anymore.
We just topped this.
Yeah, I know. I know. Oh, well. We should mention that here in Madison this morning, it's really icy and icy.
You will kill yourself.
I fell off my porch. Like, I took a step off onto the sidewalk, and
no.
I didn't see the ice, and I fell over.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Oh, my God,
oh,
yes.
Man.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, there's a bunch of schools that are closed outside of Madison. Mm-hmm. Madison School District is still
The
open.
Roads are really good. The main thoroughfares are really great, but the side streets, anything off of East Wash or University Avenue,
forget it.
It's really unbelievable. It truly is an ice skating rink.
Yeah.
You have no traction whatsoever.
So
take your time on the side streets.
Yeah.
And then when you get to main arterials, go as fast as you possibly can and make up for all that lost time.
If you can, just, you know, stay home. Listen to the radio, you know, whether you're listening to a smart speaker or, you know,
do you
phone
listen to the smart speaker anymore?
Yep.
Do you?
No.
I try to.
No, I don't.
Really?
No.
Okay.
I listen on my radio. Good old fashioned radio.
You're not listening on that radio.
The radio that you fixed for me?
Well, I sure thought I fixed it,
but then you
plugged it in and then it stopped working.
You spent a couple of weeks, you know, we went out to Full Compass and went to the tube tester out there because they have a tube tester.
Yep.
It was great. It was kind of fun, actually. Went through this whole process. Sam worked and worked on this thing, finally got it fixed, got it running. The lights are on. All the tubes are working.
Yeah.
It sounded great in here.
It did.
I took it home yesterday, plugged it in, nothing. Nothing.
No,
zero.
No power.
Not a...
Boom.
I don't know what happened.
Broke it,
I didn't
Gordy.
Break it. I put it very softly on the car seat next to me.
You buckled it up?
I buckled it up the seatbelt. Yeah, that's right.
Well, they don't make tubes like they used to.
I guess not. I don't know. Now he's got to try to find out what the problem is. But anyway, just be careful out there. It's 27 degrees and highs... Well, let's see. Let's roll the roulette wheel for the high today.
All right, let's do that.
Okay, round and round it goes, and eventually it'll stop.
What the hell is it take so long?
I don't know.
What happened there?
36 for a high today. Red 36, okay,
all right.
If you're scoring at home. The National Day calendar is right ahead of us here. What day is it today? Is it National Optimist Day? National Yo-Yo Day? National Chopsticks Day? National Lame Duck Day or National Frozen Yogurt Day?
It's not Frozen Yogurt Day.
It actually is Frozen Yogurt Day. That is wrong. Sam, will you take a guess, please?
It's not Chopsticks Day. That's what I'm calling it.
Actually, you're also wrong. We got two wrong ones today. It is National Chopsticks Day. It's not National Yo-Yo Day, okay? That's some other day, but it's not today.
I should have known that. You always use... Yo-Yo Day is the fake one.
I think I've only used it once or twice. I think we did have an actual Yo-Yo Day. Remember we talked about Dunkin' Yo-Yos?
We did.
Yeah.
So that'll be coming along sometime soon. It's Optimist Day. Oh, I know. Washington may be, you know, falling apart all around
the
capital city, but
I think Trump
Optimist
canceled
day.
This day.
Well,
Didn't he cancel this day, Optimist Day?
Well, listen to this, John.
Mm.
Confident people look to the future with hope.
Oh, yeah.
And on Optimist Day, we celebrate the
volunteers who share their enthusiasm, skills, and talent to make that tomorrow a vibrant and peaceful one.
I'm sorry.
Whew.
I'm sorry. There's no such thing as Optimist Day anymore. This is it.
Well, it's the
Those
first
people
Thursday
are out of a
February.
Job, too. Their little clubs are going to have to fold up their card tables and leave.
No more Optimist Day. Okay, we'll change it to Pessimist Day, then.
Yes.
That's it.
There we go.
National Chopsticks Day. Why would we need a day to celebrate chopsticks? Well, today's the day people worldwide celebrate the humble and ancient utensils. Around 1200 BC, Chinese cooks began using chopsticks to prepare food. Wow, 1200 BC.
Yeah.
These tools were likely long enough to reach into hot cooking pots. Then about 400 BC, when fuels for cooking became scarce, food was prepared in smaller pieces, reducing the number of resources needed to cook it. And then at the same time, the need for sharp eating utensils faded and shorter chopsticks entered the scene. So they got shorter over time.
Well, yeah.
Apparently.
It's harder to handle the longer ones. Although we have some really nice, they almost feel like bone chopsticks, but they're very nice, solid, very solid. And the kids just love to use them when
they
go to chins. Yeah.
Yeah.
No yeah, I use the fork.
Good idea. It's National Frozen Yogurt Day. Mm-hmm. Who doesn't love a good sweet frozen dessert like frozen yogurt? It's gone from fad status to staple freezer in just a few decades.
Can I tell you a little story here?
Well, sure.
I the fork and spoon thing
and
chopsticks. Let's just forget about the chopsticks. what a dumb utensil to use to feed yourself. But I do want to talk about, you know, the federal workers, you know, were emailing back and forth. And,
right.
You know, Elon had put out a memo asking them to, you know, leave, quit.
Right.
Because there's this fork in the road, right?
Yeah. Heard about this.
Yeah. Yeah. Wasn't that fantastic?
Yeah.
So all of the employees started sending emojis of spoons to each other.
Right.
And it just flooded the emails.
Mm-hmm.
Just is fantastic.
Take that,
Great
Elon.
Sense of humor, and they're not taking them up on the retirement. But have you seen the contract? It's ridiculous. You can't mention it. You can't take it to court. You can't challenge them.
Right.
It's just ridiculous. They can do anything they want after you sign this thing.
Yeah. Don't sign. Yeah. No. They're not signing it. No. A lot of them are not doing it, and they're waiting to see what happens.
Catherine mentioned Seinfeld. Have you seen The Fork?
Have you seen The Fork?
Do you think of that?
Why are you looking at me? Seinfeld stopped airing before I was born.
Yeah, I know.
Don't say that.
Okay, we'll ponder that for a couple of moments, and then we'll continue with the opening of the history book, right?
Yeah.
All that and more coming up on John and Gordy in the Morning.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
WMDX. Thanks, Sam. You're making me talk over one of my favorite songs. This is John and Gordy in the Morning. Hey, before we get to our next segment here, I want to ask Dick and Joe to both call us at about 35, if you can, in the next segment, because that's where we have a whole bunch of extra stuff we're going to play, and we'd love to hear from you. So please give us a call back at that time.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Very good. At this time, we're going to check in with Brittany Merlot about weather and find out what's happening there. Good morning, Brittany.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing? You freezing down there?
It's a little colder than the last few days. Yeah.
Yes.
It's pretty chilly. How about you?
It's not too bad. Not too bad. I mean, what? We're sitting at 10 below here, feeling like with the wind chill into Wausau, I think you're feeling like 4 degrees. So a little better. A little bit better.
All right. So it's colder up there. You have a lot of snow. How much snow did you eventually get up in Wausau?
We got 4 inches of fresh snowfall. It's beautiful out here, and we're excited for the next batch to get those ski trails open.
Yep.
Now, the downhill skiing is open, but a lot of people like to cross-country ski here as well.
All right.
So do we have more snow on the way? Anything coming our way in the next few days?
We do. So tomorrow night, there's another system lifting out of Illinois, pushing through the state, and what it's going to do is bring a wintry mix of snow and freezing rain to the Madison area. So that moves in tomorrow evening, probably after 7 o'clock or so, through the overnight, and it should be gone by Thursday morning. So not too much of a pain in the butt, because it's coming after our rush hour traffic. So that's good news.
And okay. How much accumulation with any of that?
What are we looking at?
Honestly, you guys are going to see a lot more of the ice potential. So you could see a tenth of an inch of ice, or probably less than an inch of snowfall.
All right.
Okay.
Then we'll bring out our ice scrapers for the sidewalks and driveways.
Yes.
All right.
Now, Brittany, hang on with us, because we're about to find out about the Frozen Assets Festival.
Right.
And we're talking with Caitlin McClavey. Caitlin, good to have you with us.
Yeah, yes. Thank you for having me this morning.
So you've got a little forecast there from Brittany. So it looks like we might get a little bit of snow, and maybe that'll be
ice.
Yeah, and ice too. So
yeah,
just in time for the Frozen Assets Festival, which takes place when?
It takes place this Saturday, February 8th, but I will add that we've got stuff going on all week leading up to Saturday.
Oh.
A couple fun things. So we've got Skate for the Lakes every night at the Edgewater, which is where the festival is held. But also this year, which is really exciting, we've partnered with the World Championships for Ice and Snow Sailing. And so they all arrive, people from around the world and around the country coming to compete for the World Championships. And so they've been out there. I saw them out on Friday and yesterday. So we've got that going on throughout the whole week leading up to the big festival this Saturday.
How's the ice in the lakes? Is it good at this point?
Yeah, lots of ice on the lake.
Excellent. Brittany, have you ever done any snow sailing? I bet you have.
I want to so bad.
Well, come
I just
on
saw
down.
One of those the other day. I'm going to have to. They go so fast,
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
It's really dangerous, and you could get killed.
I was going to say, what about those ice heaps? I could imagine just hitting one of those and catapulting off.
Yeah, yeah, they have those ice sheets, where the ice kind of crushes together, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's what worried me going.
Yeah.
Yeah, but luckily out there where we're right off of the Edgewater, it's looking really smooth right now.
Okay. Excellent. Great.
Good. So
perfect.
Give us the overview of what else is happening. Over the next few days and for the weekend.
Yeah, for sure. So like I said, throughout the week, we've got some little things planned, and people can go out kind of with less of a crowd to experience this ice sailing. Like I said, they can go over 60 miles an hour, which is a lot of speed that they're picking up on our lakes.
Like you're kidding me.
The conditions are really good right now because it's all ice and no snow. They're cruising out
you're
there.
You're just killing Brittany. She just wants to, act dangerously.
I'll tell Brittany that we're doing we have opportunities for people to demo all of the equipment.
So,
if you're curious and looking to get into the sport or try something new, we have opportunities for people to try it out, because I'm sure a lot of people want to experience it or heard of it until they get out there and see these people doing these crazy stunts.
I'm sure you want to give it a go, John.
No.
60 miles an hour.
Oh, come on. Can we both do it?
I love driving fast, but I'm not sure about ice.
But on Saturday, February 8th, for the actual festival, we got a lot of fun things planned. A little bit more low-key than the ice sailing is our 5K that we have, and so that goes from the Edgewater, and they run along the shore out to Picnic Point. People can run, walk, bring their kids, stroller, bring their dogs, as long as they get cleaned up after and are friendly enough to be around people. We're also encouraging people, because we have just total ice out there, it's a huge ice rink basically, and so to bring their skates along if they're looking to do a 5K with their ice skates. Otherwise, lots of fun like science demonstrations and outreach booths, free hot chocolate for everyone, ice skating at the Edgewater rink.
What kind of science? What?
Yeah, so we've got a lot of our friends from the Center for Limnology coming out to talk about just different lake ecology, lake dynamics, whether in summer season, spring, fall, or obviously in the winter here. We've got our partners at UW Physics coming, and they talk about things that are colder than ice. And then we also have friends from Ice Cube, which is another university group, that they look at space neutrinos and space dust, and they have a really cool facility in the Arctic that they use to measure things beyond me.
Is Clean Lakes Alliance in this as
well? Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yep. Yes. I should start with that. So Frozen Assets, put on by Clean Lakes Alliance. Mm. We're a group that's been around for about 15 years, the greater Madison area, that deals with the water quality of the Ahara chain of lakes.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the Edgewater Rink. They have where is that?
Yeah, so right in the plaza, so right off of the hotel, they have an actual ice rink, a little bit more low-key. So if the ice is a little spooky to you actually out on the lake, there's an opportunity for you to use their ice rink that's on land.
Well, that's free, pretty cool.
Free rentals on Saturday.
Kid-friendly.
Yes, yes. The whole festival is free and open to the public, very family-friendly. Said you can bring your dog with you as well. We get a lot of questions about that coming out onto the ice. It's basically a chance for people to come out and enjoy our lakes in a new way, because oftentimes in the winter, they're neglected and kind of maybe overlooked. They get a lot of attention in the summer months. But our lakes are doing really cool things for us all year round. So it's a great chance for us to celebrate that.
Excellent. Okay.
Brittany, you going to come down? Come on.
Oh, 100%. This sounds like an amazing event right up my alley.
Okay.
I love it. But I do recommend getting some yak tracks or something if you are going to go out for the first time ever on ice. It's slippery, right? And you don't want to fall. So
yak tracks?
100%.
Yak
track.
You mean the things you strap on your shoes?
Yep. Yeah, ice cleats. Yep. Yeah. Anybody that's planning to come out this weekend, by all means, please, we're encouraging people. It is very slippery out there. Ice is slippery.
Mm-hmm.
So bring, if you have ice cleats or yak tracks, sometimes people know them as any type of traction for your feet, especially if you're doing the 5K. Obviously, people running and walking out there.
Caitlin,
bring along that traction.
Where can people go to find out more?
People can go to cleanlakesalliance.org, find out more, and we're hoping that you can join us this Saturday.
All right. Great. Caitlin, thank you very much. Brittany, thank you as well. We're coming back with more of John and Gordy in just a moment.
This portion of the show is being brought to you by noses. Yes, when wanting to stick something in other people's business, more people use their noses than any other part of their face. Noses, available wherever olfactory body parts are sold.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's true.
92.7 WNDX, John and Gordy in the morning. It's pretty icy out there. Be very careful leaving the house.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Dangerous.
This portion of the show brought to you by David J. Frank, your turnkey one-stop landscaping resource, celebrating 65 years in business in Southeast Wisconsin. They do lawn care, flower care, trimming, shaping, pruning. They do it all. David J. Frank, again, the largest landscape contractor in Southeast Wisconsin. Check them out on the website, davidjfrank.com.
John? All right. As we do each and every Thursday morning at this time, we talk to Busted Pencils' Tim Slecker. Welcome to the program again, Tim.
Good morning.
Hey, yeah.
You know.
I know.
It was funny. When you, the opening there, I thought it said Moses, not noses. I was getting ready.
Yeah, I know.
You know, it's
part
like
of the sea,
the Red Sea. Yeah, the throwing of the tablets, the turning his hiking stick into a garter snake or something. Anyway,
those are all going to be fun things to do at the park in Gaza once
in Gaza,
put in.
Right?
The Riviera.
You know,
the Riviera of the Middle East.
A Moses theme park.
Yes, there you go.
Getting very biblical now. Yeah.
Oh, why not?
Sure.
You know, I listened to yesterday's Busted Pencils that dropped on our website. You can check it out. And you had as special guest the American Federation of Teachers President Randy Weingarten, and I'm going to say this after listening to her with you guys on the program, that she seemed a little intense and not as happy as she could possibly have been to be at your guest yesterday. she was angry.
There's a little bit going on right now that being the president of one of the second biggest labor union, representing teachers, healthcare workers, nurses, the past 3 weeks has been slightly disruptive.
Yeah.
To say the least, yeah.
Yeah. In fact, I think Trump said that we'd have to work with the teachers' union because the teachers' union is the only one that's opposed to it. Is that true, Tim? Do you think the teachers' union is the only one opposed to getting rid of the Department of Education?
I mean, it's a known fact that anything that is in favor of doing right by kids, schools, and communities, it's typically the teachers' unions would fight against
that.
You know, I mean, they're it's just it's crazy. It's a crazy world right now, and yeah, I think Randy, rightfully so, had some intensity there.
Yes, she did. Yes.
Point out some of the issues that are happening, whether it's the, you know, the destruction of the Department of Education, which is now, you know, seems to be front and center again. But, you know, her talking, you know, really about specifically the reality that, you know, the potential that immigration, the ICE officers now through executive order are able to enter schools. And she also included hospitals and churches so that we would know. And that particularly that is disruptive to the point that this is going to create a space that is, you know, the antithesis to a safe space for learning. And, you know, then there's a whole bunch of issues that kind of come up with that, you know, is an executive order legal? Does it do away with the laws that are already in place? Does it matter at this point? Because by the time it gets through the courts, how many students and families may already be disrupted? Teachers out there saying, you know, I don't know what to do. I had to let somebody come into my classroom and arrest a fourth grader, you know, with guns.
Yeah.
You know, and then it was, I would encourage anybody, though, to listen to through that intensity and through that anger was to understand the reality that points this out is that right now, though, it is legal. In fact, every child, regardless of immigration status, has the right. The Supreme Court ruled in this in 1982. Every child, regardless of immigration status, has a right to an education. Mm-hmm. And so that is the law of the land. So does an executive order then somehow supersede a Supreme Court decision? And it seems to be that at the place we're at right now, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the reality of how that works. Let's just do it now until somebody tells us to stop.
Yes.
So, you know, and that points out this issue of going. So then for teachers, you know, there's the other reality too, that when you send your child to school, to a public school, what takes over is what we say in loco parentis, which is the reality that teachers now have the responsibility to act in the responsibility for the kid when the parents are outside of there. And that is that they must keep kids safe, keep them healthy, keep them learning. How does all that come together through, you know, a big piece of tablet paper where somebody says, you know what though? Great. But we're going to let the ICE officers come in and disrupt your classrooms. How do you make sense of that? And so you say, you know, we've heard words like disruption. This is unsettling. But, you know, I think inside of Randy's intensity was to say that AFT particularly is going to continue to point out the reality on the ground right now, which is that every child has the right to be in a public school with a public education, and that teachers in those situations have the responsibility to do what's right to keep kids safe.
Right.
And so, you know, there were some other issues, but I mean, is that what you were talking about?
Yes,
absolutely. Her being a little intense?
Yes, okay. Very intense. She sounded the alarm, essentially, and she was adamant about not making the schools a war ground for politicians. And that kind of that made an impression on me, because we have been using students all this time for the last, I think, 8 years. We put them on the front lines. We're doing everything for the kids. We're protecting them. We want to make sure that the teachers aren't indoctrinating them. We want to make sure that they are not changing their sex when they go to school and come back home a different sex. Yeah. We're doing everything to protect the kids now, and they're on the front lines. And it is, I think it's grotesque that the politicians have put our children on the front line in front of them, using them as cannon fodder. That's what... Mm. I've really gotten so frustrated with this argument about schools.
Wow.
Thank you.
I'd like to see you and Randy kind of talk through this.
Yes. Yes, you're right.
That would be good.
Well, you know what? We played last week, Ryan Walters, you know, saying the superintendent of schools in Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
He was okay with, you know, letting ICE agents into the classroom and traumatizing children like that. He was okay with that.
Which is interesting, right? Because he's still hardcore auditioning to get that role in the Trump administration. It's like he hasn't seen the memo or the headlines that we're actually abolishing the Department of Education. Ryan, what are you working so hard for? There's no job there, dude.
No job. They phased it out, man.
We're talking to Dr. Tim Slecker from Busted Pencils. If you'd like to join the conversation with a question or a comment, you can call us 608-879-8255. That's 879-TALK.
I had to look this up. Trump said, we have to tell the teachers union, we're rated last in the world in education. Of the top 40. And I looked it up, and we're actually at number 13.
Okay. Well,
so
I wonder what Casey Kasem would say.
Yeah, he's wrecking the top 40.
Sure.
It truly is an amazing thing where he can get away and just make up a lie that we're last in the top 40 globally, and we're actually 13.
But the lying, as you point out, is it doesn't matter because he says it first. It gets out there. And then any kind of, you know, fact checking, it has no landing ability to make people go, holy crap, he's lying. It's like, you know, it doesn't work. It doesn't matter. He says what he wants and then creates the chaos that goes with it. And by the time you fact check him, he's on to the next lie.
Yeah. Yep. And he's already gotten people to believe the first lie, or to some extent believe it. And that's what you do in advertising. That's what you do. You identify the enemy first, your opponent first. And if you do that, that's it. You've won the game.
I will say this, though, and we didn't get to talk to Randy about this because, she likes to hang out with Busted Pencils in her spare time, but her spare time is limited. But, if there is something hopeful out there that's occurring, got to point out again, Texas and Tennessee, where the rural Republicans continue to put up an incredible fight against vouchers, they just continue to say, this is not freedom. This is not patriotism. This is not the way we should go. These are our public schools and there are no choices. And this is a problem. So there's that wedge issue. That, how do we continue to have conversations with our Republican neighbors that maybe busts through all these lies and says, look, you know what, you have a lot of your friends in other areas that kind of see the insanity here. Maybe we could work together in this standpoint. I don't know. I mean, I guess I maybe I selectively go to those stories to you know, kind of pull me out of the doldrums.
I agree. You know, this Department of Education, getting rid of it and breaking it up, and then maybe, you know, putting some parts in other departments. I think you know, the school funding thing, I believe, is something they want to put into the Treasury. The bulk of the budgetary resources of the Department of Education, $241 billion. And of that, $180 billion went into student aid and grants. So I don't know how they're going to dole that out or who's going to know what to do about all of that stuff, you know?
Right. Well, there, I mean, there's a lot of concern on that, too, because, you know, student aid, you talk about this, you know, it expands into college, the student loan program. Mm-hmm. You've got people out there now, you know, putting forward their ambitions to go to college in the fall. And, you know, there's even concern of going, you know, is there going to be a student loan program for our kids to be able to access college next year? Because is that, you know, Elon's Doge is going to point out that, you know, that's wasteful spending and eliminate that. So a lot of real fear in all of the chaos and craziness is that, this is unsettling, and this is, again, this is not the way you create progress and the conditions for people to thrive.
That's right.
Well, and people have to make plans, you know, yeah, as far as going to college next year and beyond.
Well, you know what, though? Maybe I see the beauty in this. This is creating a whole new class of farm workers.
There you go. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
We'll hold on to that thought. Yep. We will continue with Dr. Tim Slecker from Busted Pencils on John and Gordy in the Morning in just a moment.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
WMDX, John and Gordy in the Morning. And we're talking to Busted Pencils' Tim Slecker.
And this portion of the John and Gordy Morning Show brought to you by Verlo Mattress. Sleep better, dream bigger on handcrafted Verlo Mattress. Check them out on Madison's east side or west side, or just go to verlo.com. It is icy out there this morning if you're just waking up. Cold temperatures, 27 degrees, highs in the mid-30s, but glare ice all over the place, so be extra careful.
Yep.
I was walking through a parking lot to get here today, and I was able to, like, speed up a little bit, get into a little jog, and then just, like, stop my feet, and I slid a good probably 6, 7, 8 feet just on blacktop. It's that icy.
Black ice, man.
Be careful.
All right, Tim, there's a quote here from Trump. I think that if you moved our schools into some of these states that are really well run, they would be as good as Denmark and Norway and Sweden. Mm. But you'd have the laggards, the same laggards that are laggards with everything else, including crime. So I guess the blue states, they don't count. Anyway, the thing here is, and you mentioned that a couple of states, red states, are bucking against the trend of privatization. What if we went to a private school system like this, and we have it here in Wisconsin as well? They don't have any benchmarks, any guardrails, any standards whatsoever, no requirements. Mm-hmm. How, if we went to a system like that, how would colleges take in new students? What test is there? There is no test. There's no standard test. They're not required to take the test. How would a system like that work? Have they thought about this, you know, a little bit further on?
No.
Okay. Okay.
Wait, what?
Next question.
You mean pre-thought before I say something?
Yeah. Yes. Oh, man.
But you point this out, and the go back to that statement, though, you know, where we can be like Denmark and Norway and Finland if we, you know, allowed something like this, you know, privatization to happen, and even in some of the red states. And actually, at least for now, because there are standards, there are measures, there are assessments, that when you look at the results and kind of, you know, pull them apart and actually look at the red states, they have some of the most dismal education results. You know, pull out that 13 in the top 40 and then just classify red states. I think that that most of those red states end up being, you know, like around 72.
Yes. Yes. They're not doing very top. Well. Yeah.
No, no. And so, so again, there is, you know, there, there's nothing to point out that things are better in, say, Mississippi versus, you know, New York. In fact, the data points out very dramatically that actually what's happening in New York in total, that doesn't mean that there aren't problems, but that actually you would much rather have your kid in a public school in New York than you would in Mississippi. So
that's true.
You know, and again, that's just responding to his comment that there's nothing there when he says something like that. And in fact, the data, the truth, which, you know, we're in the post-truth era, I think, now, they say. What would privatization look like? I don't think anybody really knows that because it's not well thought out. You got to remember that most of this privatization move, too, and we're really now getting clarity of understanding what that means, is that, you know, at least early on in the voucher movement in Milwaukee, it was under the idea that we're going to make failing schools either get better or close down so that kids have better schools. Here we are now in 2025, and it's just, you know what, we just want parents to have the money given to them, and they're allowed to do whatever the heck they want with it. You know, and so privatization isn't about better anymore. It's just truly about doing away with public education. And I think we have to look back at going, well, why the attack on public education? It is this mythology, or maybe even a little bit of truth, that a public education keeps an informed citizenry in place, and that informed citizenry pushes back against fascist tyrants, anti-democratic leadership. And that, you know, the big push to get rid of the Department of Education, to do away with public education, is to realize how darn important those institutions are at keeping actually the freedom of Americans just, you know, out there, and that this is an attack on freedom. So, you know, and so this is where we've been trying to say, to get the narrative of pushing forward and saying it is patriotic to be in favor of your public schools. It is the you know, if you want to be a liberty loving, freedom flag waving person, there is nothing more patriotic than being in favor of public schools, because that's where real freedom continues to be the number one goal there. So, you know, we're trying to help people. And I think what you're starting to see, particularly in, let's say, the Texas and Tennessees, where the Republicans are pushing back on that, is to realize that they see public schools and the importance of them.
Yep, so absolutely.
Yeah, we need to leave it there. Dr. Tim Slecker, Busted Pencils, thank you for joining us. You can catch Busted Pencils. They drop new podcasts Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and on Saturday they are live on the Civic Media Network, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Thank you again, Tim. Talk to you next week.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
All right.
News is next, then we're back with more of John and Gordy in the Morning, right here. Let
the sun shine. It's the John and Gordy Show.
The national news cycle never stops. but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.